Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Scripture this morning is taken from Matthew, the 16th chapter, 13th through 18th verses. Will y'all stand with me, please, as we read God's word. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it."
Well, let's pray together as we come. Father, we come and we say thank you, Father, for what you're doing, God, that Father, that you've promised throughout the ages that there'll never be a time on this earth when your church will pass away, when it'll cease to exist, God, but you are constantly, actively building and fitting a people together, Father, and so we praise you for what you're doing here in our midst. Father, even though sometimes it doesn't look amazing, you're doing amazing things in our midst here, Father, and so we would ask that you would just continue to work faithfully, that we would follow Christ, that we would seek ways for ourselves to get involved and to fit in and to grow. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity this morning to come and think on what it means to be fitted together into the household of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated if you would this morning. Have you ever opened up the back of a mechanical watch? I'm not talking about one of those digital watches. I'm talking about one sort of like this, sort of like a pocket watch. Right? I mean, there's so many pieces. There's cogs, there's sprockets, there's springs, there's all sorts of things. If you look in there, here's an up-close look, even closer than that, where you can see all the different parts that go into a watch. Again, you'll find cogs and springs and something called a barrel and ballast and balances and all these things. But each one is intricately fitted together to do something that a part they can't do. They can't do it, right? A cog can't keep time by itself. A spring cannot count seconds and minutes and hours. A sprocket can't tick-tock, right? They're okay. But again, together, they do marvelous work. Each one has a job to do. If you take one sprocket out of that watch, what happens? It becomes a paperweight, right? We all have some watches at home maybe that are just paperweights. They don't work anymore. But together, they get the job done. And so this morning, I want you to realize that our Heavenly Father, He has magnificently done the same thing right here in the local body of West Main Baptist Church. Now, I know that we talked about what does membership mean last week. But look at what it says. Jim just read it a moment ago. Jesus tells you in Matthew 16, 18, he says, Matthew 16:18, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Is that good news or what, church? Amen. Satan cannot stomp us out. He cannot snuff us out. How's he going to make good on that promise? Well, one of the ways is by fitting together a people in the local church. And when God fits you and me, your neighbor beside you together, you know what happens? Death and Hades gets kicked right in the teeth. Death and Hades will not overpower the church. He's fitting us together. Remember what the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:19-22. "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, notice what he says, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Now, as I said last week, when Paul is writing this, he primarily has the church universal in mind, right? The church all over the world. But it is also applicable to right here at the local body, West Main Baptist Church. Different people, I mean just ordinary people, you're brought together, and I'm brought together for something amazing, for the glory of God by the power of God. Some of us are cogs, right? I mean, in terms of the watch, thinking about that metaphor there, some are cogs, some are springs, some are sprockets, but together we're something amazing, namely the church of God in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God that he's doing something here. And church membership is the glue that holds it all together here in the local church. It's sort of like the casing around a watch, right? That casing keeps the cogs together. It keeps the parts touching and connected and working and keeping time, giving stability and giving security. But each individual in the membership right here is to be happily busy for the Lord. We're to be happily busy for the Lord. And so in that sense, think about this with me this morning. Church membership is a verb. Church membership, yes, it's a state of being, it's a state of belonging. But it's more than that. Church membership is a verb. And so to be a member of West Main Baptist Church is to be actively working. So here's our subject this morning. We're going to look at 8 actions of a church member. 8 actions of a church member. The first action this morning is a church member hopes in Christ alone. A church member hopes in Christ alone. Now, you might be saying, Brother Ben, this should go without saying, right? I mean, this is just sort of foundational stuff. I mean, to be a Christian is to hope in Christ alone. And so certainly if you're a church member, you're hoping in Christ alone. But listen, we've got to keep this always before our eyes, don't we? Always. Listen, our flesh loves to take our eyes off of God, to take our eyes off the cross, to take our eyes off of Jesus Christ, and to get down on the earth. We so easily get wrapped up in our flesh. What we can do, right? What the next savior is coming down the pipe. A Lifeway puts out saviors every week. Now, I don't want to talk bad about Lifeway, but all of the publishing houses are always coming up with the next thing that's going to fix your ministry, right? If you'll just do this, your ministry will explode. Right now, Ed Stetzer, Tom Rainer, they just put out a book, Transformational Churches. And if you would hear them promote it, if we'll just get that book and do what it says, then this church will grow to a mega church, right? But that's not how it works. We get so caught up in programs, right, that we get our eyes off of Jesus Christ. He is where our hope is. Now, some people, they put their hope in a worship style. In a worship style, if we can just get the right kind of music, they think, if we can just get our hands to clap and our feet to stomp, and if we can get the amens and the hallelujahs flying, then that'll fill the pews. That must be where the Holy Spirit is. But I declare to you this morning, that might not be where the Holy Spirit is. He very well might be there. But just because a worship service is vibrant and clapping and all those things, that can be just as manufactured as a congregation that is somber and sober and more withdrawn, right? You know what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say here, we can so easily mistake an emotional outpouring for the movement of God. We can so easily do that. We can mistake an emotional outpouring for the movement of God. And I declare to you that if we will grab Christ and hold him up, That's where life is. That's where fullness is. Others, they put their hope in a preacher or a location or a ministry paradigm or maybe a budget. Other places, they hope in a certain ministry program, right? Again, if we can just get this program going or that program going, then we'll be ready to seriously impact the community. We get so caught up, or maybe it's just preachers. We get so caught up in what so-and-so church is doing down the street, maybe in a different state, or what the Southern Baptist Convention is pitching, or what the TBC is promoting, or what Lifeway is selling, that we forget that Christ is our hope. Amen? Christ is our hope. That's why Peter points to us. He points to us in 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 5. He points to hope in Christ as the rallying point of the church. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Look what he says. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." He says that God has caused us to be born again to a living hope. And what is that living hope but Christ, right? Christ is the one who is raised. Now, let me just give you a preview. If you come back next Sunday, Brother Jeremy Venata will preach this passage right here, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. We've also got to remember Paul's instructions to us in Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 3. Look what he says, Colossians 3, 1 through 3. "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Church, life is found nowhere else except in Christ. Amen? That's where life is found. That goes for the individual and that goes for the church. That goes for the church. So hope in Christ alone. Second, a church member loves the brethren. Loves the brethren. Paul writes this to us, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. "Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." Paul says, I don't even have to mention it because you already know this. This is so foundational to who a church member is, to who a Christian is. And Paul's absolutely right. Jesus told us time and time again, didn't he? Time and time again, particularly in the book of John. John 13, 34. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you," Jesus said, "that you also love one another." Skip ahead two chapters, John 15, 12. He says, "This is my commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Skip ahead five verses, John 15, 17. "This I command you, that you love one another." In fact, Jesus said, if you want to see the certificate of authenticity, that your faith is real, that you're really trusting in Christ, notice what he says. Notice what he says. He says the very mark of authenticity for our personal life, our love, is love for one another. Look what he says, John 13, 35. "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Friends, each church member should be fully employed in the action of loving one another. Again, that's what you promised to do when you joined the church, right? That's what it says in our church covenant. It says, "We promise, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love." Now, think about that phrasing there. We pray, We promise, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love. Whoever crafted the church covenant that we have was wise. They were wise. Because if you do not have the aid of the Holy Spirit, don't you know that walking together in love is difficult? Have you found that to be true? One of the things that I always tell people when I have a man and a wife come to me who are having trouble in their marriage is I just tell them, what did you expect, right? You put two sinners in a house together, shut the door, and there's going to be trouble eventually, amen? Well, take that and multiply it by 100 right here at West Main Baptist Church, right? You take 200 sinners, you put them together in one church building, one church body, shut the door, shake them up a little bit, poke them with a stick, and guess what happens? Sounds like a hornet's nest, you know what I'm saying? And that's what happened when the flesh rules. But by the aid of the Holy Spirit, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we love the brethren. And so it's essential. The Holy Spirit is essential, but a church member loves the brethren. Third, a church member gathers for worship regularly. A church member gathers for worship regularly. Do you believe that God has blessed you with the people sitting around you? Right? I mean, sure, He's blessed you. But do you think that He's blessed you with the people on your right, on your left, behind you, and in front of you? Amen, He has. Guys, we take each other for granted so often. I feel so sorry for the Christian who tries to go at this alone. I mean, can you imagine it? They try to live for Jesus by themselves. They're missing out on what God has promised us in Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Look at what it says. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Church, I declare to you that one of the ways that you remain faithful until the day Jesus Christ comes back is what we're doing right here. This is a spiritual act. Yeah, I love the social aspects. I love shaking hands. I love hugs. I love discussion and conversations and all those things. I love eating together. All that's good. But really what God has done here is that, as I said last week, I've got your back and you've got mine, and together we're going to live for Jesus. Now, as a church member, you've pledged to make a habit of meeting together with this group of Christians to encourage each other. And as we talked about last week, church membership means something. Can I say something strange? It might sound strange to you this morning, but I want to say this, and I want you to hear this. I want you to think on this. I want you to chew on this. The average number of those attending our Sunday morning worship service should be greater than the number on our membership roster. Now let me say that again. The average number of those attending our Sunday morning worship service should be greater than the number on our membership roster. In other words, we should have more people here on Sunday than we have church members. I don't know if you agree with that or not. You might say, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But I declare to you, if that's how we're thinking, then membership, as we said last week, is meaningless. Church membership means something. Right now, we're a far cry from what I just said. Right now, as I pointed out last week, we have 312 members of West Main Baptist Church. And there's maybe half of that here on average, right? In other words, we have half of our membership who hasn't been here in over a year. And that's shocking. That's shocking. I'll never forget the look on Tony's face the first time I put before them the membership roster, the leadership team. Tony said, are you seriously? He couldn't believe it. He had no idea. But when we look at it, guys, that's not how it should be. Being a church member means gathering for worship regularly with your church. Fourth, a church member serves the church and community. Serves the church and the community. Jesus, when he was speaking of himself, he tells us in Mark 10:45, and you probably know this well, Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so I turn that back to you this morning. Do you have that same mindset? I mean, if you're to be made or you're being made and conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, do you have that same mindset? Are you here only to be served, or are you here to serve others also? Now, the proof of your answer, I don't know how you personally would answer that, but the proof is in your ministry involvement. Is there a time throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year, when you minister to someone else through the church here? Maybe it's through the choir or the music ministry. Maybe it's through VBS or Awana, some sort of committee leadership or ministry. Maybe it's through Sunday school or disciple training. Maybe it's through our outreach ministries like No Home Untouched. Or maybe it's the bus ministry. I mean, I could go on and on listing opportunities for us to serve. And let me say this. One of the things, when I'm not with y'all, man, I brag on you. I mean, I love being the pastor of this church. And one of the things that I've told people, again, today marks my second anniversary as your pastor. When I tell people I'm the pastor of West Main Baptist Church, one of the things that I always tell them is that they're hungry to minister to this church and community. You guys are, praise God. You don't just sit there. You want to get busy. You want to follow Christ. You want to see lives changed. But I want to ask you this morning, maybe there's some here this morning who are not involved, right? Where are you fitting into the ministry? Where are you being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ? And so I beg you this morning, if you can't really come up with anything when I ask that, where are you being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in this church and this community? If you can't really come up with anything, then I beg you today, begin to pray, begin to ask God, God, how can I get plugged into the ministry here at West Main Baptist Church? Do you want to have the mind of Christ? Do you? Amen. Amen. Then serve the church and community like a church member should, and pour out your time, your energy, and skills for many. Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many. You can't give your life as a ransom for many, but you can pour out your life, your energy, your skills for the improvement and ministry for many, right? Certainly can. Fifth, a church member sharpens others in small groups. Sharpens others in small groups. Have you ever wondered why in the world we don't just have this service right here? Why is it that we meet at 9:45? Why is it that we meet at 5 o'clock? Why is it that we do what we do on Wednesday nights? We do that. We do that because if we don't have the small groups, we miss out on something, right? We miss out on an important part of church ministry. Again, we have opportunities galore for you as an individual to get plugged in, to get plugged in to the ministry of the small groups. Sunday school, disciple training. Do you believe what Proverbs 27:17 tells us? Do you think this is true? Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Do you believe that's true? Let me tell you this. That happens best in small groups. It happens best in small groups. Because listen, when I'm preaching, it's basically a one-sided conversation. I mean, sure, every now and then I get an amen, a hallelujah, a hand clap, a woo, right? But you don't get a chance to ask questions. You don't get a chance to bounce off of other people. You don't get a chance to say, let's stop for just a minute and pray for this. Small group ministry is a different dynamic altogether. And if you're not plugged into Sunday school or into disciple training, then you're missing out on an important part. You're not being sharpened like you could be. Because this service is just designed different than those ministries are designed. And if you'll get together in those things, then you're going to get the opportunity to be sharpened by many people and to bounce off of one another. Let me tell you, it's a beautiful thing. I love small group ministry. And so, if you're not attending Sunday school, if you're not attending disciple training, we can't force you to go to it. But let me say this, you're missing out on a wonderful ministry that the church here at West Main Baptist has provided for you. A church member should sharpen others in small groups. Sixth, the church member prays for the people and the ministry. A church member prays for the people and the ministry. Maybe you would agree with this. One of the most crucial yet overlooked ministries in the local church is the ministry of prayer. Amen? I mean, it often gets overlooked because it seems like it's not really doing anything, right? I mean, it seems like we're just talking to air. But we're not. We're not. My former pastor, Melvin Phelps, he would often come in on Thursday morning, and he'd be frustrated because at my last church, Crofton Baptist, their Wednesday night ministry was set up similar to what ours is as far as the prayer meeting, right? The first half devoted to teaching, the second half devoted to prayer. And sometimes several people would come for the teaching, but when it got time for prayer, they'd get up and leave. And it would break his heart because he said, how can the church go forward if we're not going to pray together, right? If we're not going to get on our knees before the Almighty God whom we serve and beg Him to do something, right? I mean, that's what prayer is. It's getting on our faces before God and saying, God, you must do something. Paul didn't think it was a waste of time. Look what he says, Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 12. Colossians 1, 9 through 12. He says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Man, that's a big list, isn't it? I mean, that's some amazing stuff that Paul was praying would happen in the church at Colossae, right? Amazing stuff. But Paul believed that all of those things that he just mentioned would be helped along through the ministry of prayer. Jesus didn't think it was a waste of time either. Time and time again in the Gospels, we find Jesus slipping off for times of prayer. Matthew 14, 23, it says, after Jesus had sent the crowds away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray, and when it was evening, He was there alone. How about Matthew 26, verse 39? And Jesus went a little beyond them and fell on His face and prayed, saying, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me. Yet not as I will, but as You will. Jesus saw prayer as essential to His life. You've heard this before, but let me say it again. If the Son of God prayed while He was in the flesh, and He's still in the flesh today, shouldn't you pray? Shouldn't we pray? It's essential to life. It's essential to church ministry. If you want to see people saved, pray. If you want to see people to get off drugs and alcohol, pray. Right? If you want to see If you want your preacher to preach better, pray. Amen. Listen, if you want to see spiritual growth in your life, then you pray. Prayer changes things. Amen. As one author says, he says this, "Everything you need for godliness and service is found in prayer. You have no lack in Christ, but what you fail to take by prayer." You know well what it says. You have not. Why? Because you ask not. Because you ask not. Church, one of the greatest joys that I have, one of the greatest joys that I have in pastoring this church is the opportunity to go visit Miss Willette Scott. I know many of y'all know her. She is a sweet saint, a sweet saint. That's Marlene's mother. And when you go, she's basically the only shut-in that we have here at West Main Baptist Church. And when you go, she's encouraging. She's a precious lady. You go to minister her, and guess what happens? You end up getting ministered to yourself, don't you? Those of you who know her and go see her. And every time I go visit her, she always mentions how so much she wishes that she could leave her house and come to the worship service and be right here with us, but she's just not able. But here's what she promises me. She says, "Brother Ben, I'm praying for y'all." And you know what? I believe her. I believe her. I feel her prayers. And I say to you this morning, we need more people like Miss Willette Scott, who has a praying spirit. You see, I don't have a talent. I don't have a skill. I don't have the ability to go do this. I can't speak to people. Can you get on your knees and pray for this church and stand in the gap and intercede that the gates of hell would be held back? Can you do that? Even a quadriplegic could pray. Amen? And I don't see anybody in a wheelchair. And so, church, may you be engaged actively. Actively, as a church member, you should pray for the people and the ministry. Seventh, a church member attends members meetings consistently. You say, "Oh, goodness gracious, but what? Members meetings? What?" Notice I use the phrase members meetings and not business meetings. Business meetings, that talks about the content, right? It's got dollars and all these things that seem to be attached to it. It seems so gross and not fun. And sometimes there might be arguments at business meetings. But at members' meetings, that ties it to the covenant promises that we have, right? Where we're to approach one another in brotherly love. Where we're to be about the advancement of the church and its ministries. We're to treat each other the way Christ would treat each other. And the phrase members' meetings, it focuses on who should actually be attending them. Members. Members. If you're a member of this church, you should take the priority to attend our monthly members' meetings. Or as we've said, sometimes everybody can't stay. But if just one person from each household would stay, right, so that your family would be represented, so that you as a household would be represented and stay in the know of what's going on. Because think about this, given the way that our church is organized, think about this with me. The members' meeting is where church decisions are made. How to spend the tithes and offerings, how to participate, what to participate in and what not to participate in, what sort of facilities we should have, what sort of direction the congregation will go. I mean, so on and so forth. And one of the privileges of being a church member is the right to discuss and vote in the members' meeting. And so church members should attend the members' meetings consistently. And if you do not, why? And whatever your answer is, see if that squares with what God has set forth for the local church in the Bible. Finally, a church member gives dependably. Gives dependably. You know, Scripture is full of teaching on giving. Amen? Let me just throw some Scripture at you here so you can hear Proverbs 3:9, listen to what it says. It says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this. This is God speaking, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. How about the New Testament? Luke 6:38. Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, for by your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you in return. How about 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2? Paul writes, now concerning the collection of the saints, or for the saints, as I directed the church of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, hey, that's today, each one of you put aside and save, as so he may proof, or so as he may, provide when I come, so that no collections be made when I come. And then finally, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must do as he is purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Did you know that when that plate is passed and you take your hard-earned money, and let me say this, the money that God has allowed you to earn, let's put it in that context, right? And you put it in that offering plate, did you know that's an act of worship? It's an act of worship. Not only is it an act of worship, but is the God-ordained means for the ministry of the church to be financed. The kingdom of God is financed on earth through the tithes and offerings of the church members, of the saints. Again, let me point to you the promises that we made as church members through our covenant. It says, we promise to contribute cheerfully and regularly by tithes and offerings to the support of our local church, the expenses of the ministry, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all the nations. Now, a tithe is 10% of your income, and that should be the starting point of your giving. It should be the starting point. And as special offerings come along, or as that ministry on television or in the community that you want to give to, all that is on top of your tithe. It's in addition to your tithe. And you say, why is that? Well, because you have committed to this local church first, to the ministry of West Main Baptist Church first. But let me stress to you, all giving that you do is voluntary. Absolutely voluntary. You give because you want to give. If you don't want to give, that's between you and God, right? If you want to give anonymously, that's between you and God. Right? No one is checking up on you. No one's adding up your tithes to see, is this 10%? What are they giving? That's between you and God. But keep in mind that the biblical standard for Christians in general, and church members in particular, is to be a dependable giver. A dependable giver. So to sum up this morning's message, let me quote one of our fellow Southern Baptist pastors. Here's what he says. He says, if the church is a building, then we must be bricks in it. If the church is a body, then we are its members. If the church is the household of faith, then we are part of that household. Sheep are in a flock and branches on a vine. Biblically, if we are Christians, we must be members of a church. This membership is not simply the record of a statement we once made of or our affection toward a particular place. It must be the reflection of a living commitment, or it's worthless. Worse than that, worse than worthless, it's dangerous. It's dangerous, right? If the membership that we have, if your name is on the roster of West Main Baptist Church, and it's not a living, if it's not a lifestyle, if you're not living out all that it means to be a member of West Main Baptist Church, then membership is worthless. And in fact, it's dangerous because of the message that it gives to the world. And church, to what that man said, I say amen and amen. Church membership is a verb. It's a verb. Now you might be saying, preacher, I came to hear a life-changing message this morning. I declare to you, if you'll do this, if you'll do what we've talked about this morning, if you'll live that out, your life will change. This church will be transformed. It's good, but don't you believe that we could get a little better? Amen? Amen. So may you be actively involved in the fullness of church membership.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.